Proverbs chapter 23. If you sit to eat with a ruler, then be careful what you are eating. Put a knife to your throat if you're a man who's greedy of food. Don't desire his dainty food because it's deceitful meat. In other words, if somebody who's very wealthy comes up to you and starts being generous, be careful. Just be very careful because you can get in their control. This is very wise advice all the way through. Do not labor to be rich and cease from your own wisdom. And that's the very opposite of how people live today. They think that their wisdom, their gut sense of what's right and wrong, is most important. And it isn't. And it's very often wrong. And this idea that there is this gut sense within people of what's right and wrong, and that's what you've got to live by, this is totally wrong. We've got to not follow our own wisdom, not do what is right in our own eyes, but follow God's wisdom. And don't labor to be rich. Don't spend all your mental energy, etc., trying to get wealth. And this is absolutely the opposite of how people understand life. It's all about trying to serve God and putting our labor and our thought time into Him and the things of serving Him. Will you set your eyes upon that which doesn't exist? Because riches make themselves wings and fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So you can't see what you can't see, but people are, as it were, using their eyesight to try to focus on what isn't there. It just flies away. And that is the idea of wealth, of trying to get wealthy. That, unfortunately, or fortunately, I suppose, it is just searching for the end of the rainbow all the time. Don't eat the food of him who has an evil eye, nor desire his dainty meat. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The bit of food which you've eaten, you'll vomit and lose your sweet words. Don't speak in the ears of a fool. He'll just despise the wisdom of what you're saying. Don't remove the old landmark, and don't go into the fields of the fatherless. Well, it seems that God, when he brought the people out of Egypt, gave to each tribe and to each family within each tribe a specific area of land. And to mess with that was to really take away the inheritance that God had intended. And so he says, don't remove landmarks. And so God has given each of us, or has prepared for each of us, a unique place in his kingdom. And Jesus says that he will give us a stone with a name written on it that nobody knows apart from the person who's given it, and Jesus. And I love that idea because it means that actually nobody else can quite enter our relationship with Jesus, that it's totally unique between us and him. And it's rather like each family having their own personal area where they were to inherit in the kingdom. And it also shows how important family is to God and how much God is against people who try to break up families. So, don't remove the old landmarks. Don't go into the fields of the fatherless. Because their protector, their redeemer, is mighty, and he will plead their cause with you. So you might think, oh, that person hasn't got a father, therefore I can sort of beat him up or steal things from him. And God says, look, I'm the father. I'm the one who's going to protect and redeem that person. God has a special interest in the fatherless, and in widows and those who have no human strength and protection. So you've got to be very careful with how you treat anyone who's in that position. Because God is watching very, very carefully. He really is. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Don't withhold correction from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. But if you do discipline him, you will save his soul from destruction. Now the soul is the person, the life. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice, even mine. Yes, my innermost heart will rejoice when your lips speak right things. That's how it should be. for any father or mother in teaching their children that they will rejoice with a unique kind of joy if that child is wise and accepts wisdom and goes in the way of wisdom. There's a special joy for every true mummy and daddy, father and mother, when they see their child going in the way of wisdom. And that's how it should be for you, God willing, when you have your kids and raise them. Let not your heart envy sinners, but be instead in the fear of the Lord all day long. So when you see somebody who's not lived a good life and they've got a fancy car and they've got a fancy house and a fancy this, that and the other, don't envy them. Don't envy them. But instead, you live in the fear of God. Don't go into someone's fancy property and think, oh, how I wish that I lived here. How I wish I had one of those. This is not the way to be. Because surely there is an end. There is a day of judgment. And all these things will be judged. Listen, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Don't mix with those who drink wine amongst those who riot. For the drunkard and the glutton, that's the person who overeats as well as overdrinks, will come to poverty. And they will be clothed with rags. And you think of the parable of the prodigal son, and I think Jesus had read these words. And he talks about the person who eats and drinks, and then eventually he becomes poor and he's clothed in rags. And that was the prodigal son. But of course Jesus takes that and then says, well, you know, but there is hope. The prodigal son, the fool dressed in rags, can still come back, can still return to God. Listen to your father who begat you, and don't despise your mother when she's old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who has a wise child will have joy of him. Your father and your mother will be glad, and she who bear you will rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Now, when I was baptized, I came out of the water, and I went to dry off. And I got out my Bible, and I prayed to God and said, well, you know, thank you for everything. Please guide me. And I opened my Bible at random, looking for a bit of wisdom. And my eyes came to this verse, because it is very roughly, if you open a Bible in the middle, this is roughly Proverbs 23, where you'll come to. And this is what I read. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. So, my son, give me your heart. God asks for our heart, and the heart is the mind. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has arguments? Who babbles? Who has wounds without a reason? Who has red eyes? Those who tarry long at the wine. Don't look upon the wine when it's red, when it gives his colour in the cup, when it moves itself nicely. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a snake. Your eyes will behold strange women, and your heart will utter foolish things. Yes, you'll be like a man who lies down in the middle of the sea, or who thinks he can lie down on the top of a mast. They've beaten me, he'll say, but I was not sick. They've beaten me and I didn't feel it. When shall I wake up? Then I can go and drink again. So that is how foolish it is to get drunk. And we live in a society where the use of drugs and alcohol is absolutely everywhere, especially amongst young people. And the Bible is so right. Keep away not only from this, but from those who do those things. Don't go to parties where this sort of thing happens. Quite naturally, you should want to keep away from this. And the reason he gives, amongst others, is that it will affect your mind. Your mind will see bad things and you will want to do bad things. And we are told to give God our heart. Now, how can we go through life thinking, yep, God has said to me, my son, give me your heart, I'm trying to be spiritually minded all the time, if you abuse alcohol or abuse drugs? There is no way, because these are two quite different ways of life. And therefore, you need to keep away from people who do drugs and people who are over-drinking.